Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Sierra Hotel,
India,
Echo,
Lima,
Delta,
Shield.
Thank God for Wrestling Twitter taking...
I will never badmouth them again until...
I find that very hard to believe.
Until they screw me over.
No, yeah, thank you Wrestling Twitter for not truly screwing us. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever and whenever you are listening. And thank you again for listening. It's hugely, hugely appreciated. This is Chain Wrestling with Mags and Si. I am the incredibly unprofessional, apparently, Si, for being 10 minutes late today. And the guy chuckling at my unprofessionalism in the background is the guy who's with me as always, my podcasting best mate. He is the...
That really does mean a lot, you know. That's got me in the field.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Has it really? After, you know, sent me a message calling me unprofessional because I said I'm going to be 10 minutes late. Yeah, Royal. He is the body armor to my face paint. He is the head of the table to my main event. He is the podfather himself, Mr. Mags. How are we doing this week, sir?
All the better for those lovely, lovely words. It honestly really does mean a lot. Wow, yeah, I'm blown away by that. But yeah, having a decent start to the week, I suppose. I've got to watch a decent match for this show for once.
Yes.
I've been doing some research earlier for an episode of Badlands, which covered some stuff that I've never watched, and it's pretty damn gruesome. So yeah, it's been a fun start to the week so far.
Gruesome high, gruesome bloody, or gruesome awful?
Well, I mean, giving the game away, the episode won't drop for a few weeks because I am very, very anally retentive in terms of getting well ahead with shows on Badlands. But we're talking about the greatest hardcore wrestlers. Again, don't really want to give too much away in terms of my picks because I know Tolly listens. but yeah, some of these Japanese wrestlers are fairly nuts. I've been watching pool elimination death matches, penalty box elimination death matches, piranha death matches, alligator death matches, scaffolding death matches, spider nets of barbed wire death matches. Honestly, they're fucking nuts. They're absolutely nuts.
I've seen matches like stuff like that. You know, you see the sort of cloudy explosions going off and the barbed wire and all the blood and all that sort of stuff. And I couldn't tell you what promotions it was. Like, is it Wing or FMW and stuff like that?
Both those, yeah. And RWA as well.
Yeah, like when I used to, I mentioned it before on the show, when I used to pick up the videotapes from this bloke who had a little music store down an alleyway in Gloucester, and it smelled damp and it was all horrible and gross. But that's the only place you could pick up certain wrestling videos and stuff, and I used to watch bits and bobs from there. Yeah, quite eye-opening stuff when you're used to, you know, say, I don't know, John Cena and the worst STF in the world, and you sort of turn over and you see that. It's a bit...
Oh yeah, it's uncomfortable in some times to watch.
Yeah, definitely crazy. I mean, that Sushi Onita, man, he's just awesome. But, but that's just because he's badass and his entrance theme rocks. But that's it, you know.
But it's going to make for a very interesting episode of Badlands. So certainly, I mean, promoting another podcast on this network, how dare I? But certainly, listen out for that.
Yeah, definitely. This is a Badlands every week, mate. It's great. I love it. But you've had a good week then, looking into your gore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I've done my research, so I don't really have to do it again because it's not my style of match. But I mean, I'm not one to kink shame to each their own. I can see why it's so popular, because it's mental. But yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, my week's been okay, mate. Same old, you know. Still sort of looking for work and sat around the house and waiting for lockdown to finish. But people I know are starting to get the jab now, so that's a positive thing. It seems we're heading in the right direction.
Oh, that's good.
You know, there's a music festival that I go to, a small little one. It's only about sort of 2,000-4,000 people, something like that, in Nottingham at the end of August. They're apparently still going ahead.
Oh, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, so me and my mate sort of toying with the ideas, do we still go this year? We're a little bit apprehensive because of what's gone on, but we're sort of looking into it and thinking it might be a possibility. So yeah, a couple of things to look forward to, I guess, my friend.
Yeah, me and the wife go to Bingley Music Festival quite a lot. We haven't been able to go, obviously, with the pandemic. So hopefully there'll be some news regarding that pretty soon, because, yeah, I've missed it.
Yeah. I mean, live music's fantastic. I bloody love it, you know. And obviously, one of the bands I really love, just gone off a bit of a musical tangent now, I guess. But one of the bands I love and I've done for so many years are the Choir Boys. Are you familiar with them, Mags? Or
I've heard of them. I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan, but yeah. I have heard of them.
Yeah, I mean, I play them at home, you know, semi-often. They're not like one of my all-time faves, like a Wasp or an Iron Maiden or an AC/DC or someone like that, or a Motörhead or whatever. But I do really enjoy their stuff. I play it sort of semi-often at home. But live, they're fantastic. They're just a great party band. They're brilliant. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to be playing the Gloucester Guild Hall, which is, I mean, I can walk there in 10, 15 minutes from my front door, on the Friday night, which is also a bonus, a Friday night, isn't it? Which was going to be my 40th birthday. And obviously COVID.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, kicked it. When it was all announced and it all came out, I thought, man, that's like the stars aligning, isn't it? A band I love playing my home city or my hometown's Guild Hall on my birthday, and it's a Friday night. You can't ask for anything better than that, could you? And the support band were a band called Massive, who were just brilliant old school rock, and I love them as well. And I thought, this is going to be awesome. Yeah, so that COVID firmly kicked that in the bollocks, didn't it? But but they've rearranged now for the end of the year as well, so I'm looking forward to hopefully catching them in Gloucester at some stage. So yeah, good stuff, mate. All hopefully things are looking up on the whole coronavirus front, I suppose.
Yep, absolutely. One thing that the coronavirus really did ruin for me, I'm a big fan of a comedian called Ian Boldsworth, and he has a podcast called The Paranormal Podcast, where him and another comedian called Barry Dodds basically argue the case for weird and paranormal things that have happened throughout history. So this guy Barry, he's a firm believer. You just literally have to tell him a story and he'll instantly believe it, whereas Ian is more kind of scientific and methodical, and he rips it to pieces, and it's absolutely hilarious. Well, they basically crowdsourced and crowdfunded their own movie called The Parapod Movie, and it was being shown in very few select theatres, and me and the wife managed to snag some tickets to go and see the first performance, but then coronavirus happened and all the performances of it cancelled. So yeah, I'm a bit disappointed about that, but hopefully we'll get news about that being rescheduled soon, because yeah, I really want to go and see that movie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not familiar with those guys. You'll have to send me some links over so I can have a look. Yeah, I mean, I like all sort of paranormal stuff, and obviously, who doesn't like comedy? Everyone likes having a giggle, don't they?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you may know him as the comedian Ray Peacock.
Don't ring a bell.
I'll send you some links over anyway. But yeah, honestly, I just laugh out loud at the Parapod podcast, because this Barry is so gullible. Pretty much like Mrs. Maggs. If there's something about ghosts or something spooky, she instantly believes it. Yep, it's true. It's got to be true. And I'm like, what a load of hogwash. Don't believe that bollocks. Pretty much like Ian's side of it. So yeah, it's just really, really comical. So yeah, I'll send you some links.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, I'll look out for that. That's great. Before we get into our I suppose, two main topics today are sort of, the wrestling match that Twitter have thankfully chosen for us to watch.
Thank God.
Thank God for wrestling Twitter taking...
I will never badmouth them again until...
I find that very hard to believe.
Until they screw me over.
No, yeah, thank you, wrestling Twitter, for not truly screwing us, watching my decision to put something forward that was truly horrendous. Out of tiredness and grumpiness and spite at the time, not thinking it through and realizing I've got to watch it myself as well. So, well, thank you very, very much, Wrestling Twitter. Before we get onto that, though, and our interactions on Twitter this week, also with regards to people's kitchen or food related issues and accidents, I got really, really pissed off yesterday, Mags, and I want to share with you and the people listening why I got pissed off, mate. And it just seems that
this is turning into be kind of like Loose Women, but with two middle-aged blokes
just griping at the world. Basically, I think that there are certain aspects now of modern technology, and it is going to be very much a case of I'm moaning about something that a lot of people don't have and all that sort of stuff. So don't take that, you know. It just pissed me off at the time. I don't know what it was. Grouchy or something, I don't know. But a little while ago, a couple of months back, I had a upgrade on my phone. I don't tend to have like the up-to-date flashy super duper or singing or dancing jobs. I don't need it, you know. The updates tend to go to the kids. I sort of pass them down, sort of thing.
Yeah.
On this occasion, I mean, they both my younger girls who I do that with, they've got newish phones off their grandparents, or they had them for Christmas or birthday or whatever. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get not the new one because it's too expensive, but the one below that. And I got a good deal because I've been with this particular phone network for many years, and they sort of gave it. I ended up with a better phone and for a cheaper price, which is, you know, you can't complain
about that. Yeah.
No, totally. In an evening, I spend a lot of time. Well, I probably say a couple of times a week, I sit out in the back room and I play my old Windows 98 PC with Championship Manager 2001 on it. Having a few beers, listening to podcasts, listening back to certain shows of ours and that, so I know what to edit the following day and so on. Having a couple of drinks and so on, but I'm listening to it through my phone, through my headphones. These new phones, Mags, they haven't got a hole for the headphones.
Oh, you are so out of touch, sir.
No, honestly, my wife said that hers was the same, but I didn't really pay that much attention. So I'm not going to lie, it didn't directly affect me, so I probably didn't give too much of a shit, to be fair. You know, but this one I've got, this Samsung FR I've got, they've normally got a little hole for the headphones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This one hasn't. So I started having to use like Bluetooth headphones, which I got a pair knocking around the house, so that was all right. But then that again then adds on an extra complication, because you've got to make sure not only is your phone charged to be able to play your music or your podcasts or whatever you're listening to, you've got to make sure your fucking headphones are charged as well. Right? Now, I'm sat there sometimes listening to... I could be listening to your wonderful Burnley dulcet tones talking on Badlands or whatever, mate, and listening back to some shows there. And then my listening enjoyment can be rudely interrupted by this... I'm guessing it's supposed to be a woman, but it's kind of a scary robotic woman going, low battery. And I'm just like, all right. But the thing is, it doesn't say, it's not like, oh, low battery as in you've got 10 minutes, or low battery, you've got 15 minutes, or low battery, you've got 2 minutes, or anything like that. It just says low battery, and it keeps doing it again and again and again, and it just cuts off. But there's no way of me going on and looking, and, okay, it says low battery, how much have I got? Oh, I've got a quarter of an hour left. I can't check that. I'm just getting shouted at, low battery. And it makes me fucking jump sometimes because it comes out of nowhere, you know? So I thought, this has got to change. So I bought this little wire, like £3-4, where the hole in the bottom of the phone is for charging your phone, right? Mm-hmm. And again, people listening, you need to... Magsy is fully aware of how shit I am with technology and how crap I am with anything like this. The amount of times I've got a message him and say, how do I do this with regards to looking something up on the internet or something podcasting wise? And he has to talk me through it like I'm a I'm
child.
I'm literally like a 4-year-old who's, you know, doesn't even know how to turn the telly on or whatever. But yeah, the phone I've got, it's got the little hole in the bottom for your charger, right? That's the only one it's got. That's the only hole, mate, right? Now, when I've bought this cable to convert the phone to be able to take the little sort of, was it 3.5 mil jack for the earphones? So I've not got to constantly charge my earphones up and all that. I realised, okay, that's got to get plugged into the hole that is for the charger, and that's where my earphones go in. Okay? So I did that last night. The wire arrived. I plugged this little thing in. I'm listening to this, the music and that. I'm listening to it. I can't remember what I was listening to. A bit of Wasp or a bit of Motorhead or something like that. I'm having a fucking great time, Max, with my new headphones and this new little wire. Fully involved in my really old shitty game. That's, you know, my computer game is older than all my children and all this, you know. I'm in a world of my own. And then I get a beep beep. I look down and my phone's got less than 5% battery left. And I'm like,
where this is going?
And I'm like, right, okay, no worries. I've got to charge my phone. So I get my phone charger and I'm just looking at my phone like, right, I can't plug both things in at once because my earphones now go into the hole where the charger goes. And if I unplug that, I can't use my headphones. But I can't not unplug it because the fucking battery's going to die. So let me ask you this, okay? Considering my last phone and every other phone I've had from Samsung before this, all these touch screen phones where you can, you know, go on your Twitter and all that sort of stuff on your phone and that, real clever smartphone sort of gadgets, right? All the other ones have got a hole for your headphones and a hole for your charger. Now, these new ones haven't, and apparently it's, you know, they're all new and brilliant and excellent. How is that fucking progress?
It's because they lead to thinner, lighter phones. If you look at the size of the phone jack, it's quite, I mean, 3.5 mil doesn't seem big, but when it's soldered onto the motherboard inside your phone, it does take up a lot of space. It is for that, and with USB, I'm assuming it's going to be USB-C, the charging fitting.
Yeah, that's when I ordered it, that's what the thing said, USB-C, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very much universal kind of fitting, so you can plug pretty much anything into it. I mean, you could essentially plug in a HDMI cable and hook your phone up to your TV through that same port. But you've actually gone about solving this problem totally the wrong way.
Oh, why does that not surprise me at all?
Okay, so I'm like you. My last couple of phones have had no earphone jack, and yeah, it is very, very annoying until you buy some wireless earbuds.
Yeah, but you got a charger, haven't you?
Okay, but they come in a little plastic charging pack, which will charge the earbuds multiple times each. But the game changer is you can use one at a time. So if you're like listening to music, so if you're listening to music and you're there on Champ Manager 2001, you can have one earbud in, happily listening to your podcast or your music. Your other ear's free for any kind of like ambient noise. If the missus is saying, "Will you turn that bloody Champ Manager down?" Kids screaming, Moggy again, run over in the middle of the road again, all that palaver. But then when you get the message saying low battery, you simply just take the other earbud out of the packaging, pop that in your ear, put the original one back into charge. There you go. Carry on listening at your heart's content.
Well, see, that's like, that
my earbuds are a game changer from pretty much the minute I get out of the shower to whenever I'm recording a podcast, or even at night, I'll have one earbud in listening away to whatever I'm listening to, whether that's music, podcasting. Honestly, they're an absolute game changer. There's also another way to solve your issue.
Go on.
Right. I assume with your new phone, it's relatively new. You said it's like the next one down from the kind of flagship.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I would assume it's got wireless charging.
See, the wife mentioned something about this. Yeah, but it's just something else I've got to plug in and put on the table, isn't it? I ain't got that many plug holes.
you could plug it in to a USB port on your computer, have it sat at the side of your computer, and then just plonk your phone on top of that whenever you're playing, and it'll happily charge away at 5 volts supplied by your PC. Away you go.
Okay, I see. You're right, I'm completely out of touch.
You're in the dark ages, man.
I am.
Come into the 2020s.
Mate, honestly, yesterday I had such a rage. I was just getting so narky about it. But no, that all sounds like a good plan. I'm going to look into this now. And obviously, you know, new equipment, new tech and all that. Also, you know, what we know, March the 1st as we're recording today.
Yeah.
Only what? Was it 7, 8, 9 months away till Christmas? I can wait till then. That'd be right. You know?
I mean, happily, but for about 15, maybe 20 quid at a stretch earbuds, they'll happily solve your problem.
I'll have to get on that, mate. I'll have to get on that. Okay. One thing I will have a gripe about, though, is that seeing as I'm doing the old man shouts at cloud thing.
Okay. Abe Simpson here, come on.
Yeah, that's it. One thing, you know, button flies on your jeans, that's not progress. In the mid-1800s or whatever it was, some fucker invented the zip. We don't need to go backwards, okay? That's stupid, and it makes me cross. When you've got a few beers inside you and then a new pair of jeans, you run the risk of pissing yourself when you're running to the toilet in the pub, don't you?
Or you have to go for a schoolboy wee.
Yeah.
It's like pants down, like to the floor. Yeah. Zips are, they are sign of the times. I mean, you could even go as far as say maybe put Velcro there instead now, zips. Save on resources, I suppose.
Velcro? Could you have Velcro on your fly?
No, not really. But, I mean, it is progress of a nature, I suppose.
The way you're a kid, you could have the Velcro, and then instead of a proper big button at the top, you could have a popper, you know, like on a title belt or something. And then it's just, you know, really quick access. You can just go, away you go, isn't it?
Yeah. Or if you remember those tracksuit pants where I had poppers all the way up the legs, just have that as a fly instead.
Did you have a pair of them, Max?
I had several pairs of them, and I was the coolest kid on the block.
Amazing. Did anyone ever like just completely pants you when you're right, just rag your trousers off?
No, because the ones I got were Adidas ones, and they were the top wasn't a popper, it was a button, so you could rag like the legs and look like you were wearing like some of your mum's culottes, but at the top it was an actual button, so you couldn't like remove the whole lot.
Right. There was a kid who used to hang around with us, and we used to just pants him all the time at the bus stop, down the chippy, McDonald's.
He's certainly not in therapy right now.
Well, I don't know. I've not spoken to him in ages. I don't even know if he's still around. Well, that's a horrible thing to say, isn't it? I hope that's not the case. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to try and find him. Anyway, Mags, so now I've finished ranting like an old man and you've helped me out with technology again, shall we have a little look as to what the people in Twitterland have been sending us this week?
Yep. Again, Twitter does not fail to amaze me. How these people are able to do more than one thing at once is unreal. It's like they've lost control of all the faculties.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? I mean, basically, this week our sort of secondary topic below the wrestling, I guess, our semi-main, shall we say. It was influenced by, I had a fish finger. I made myself some fish fingers and whatnot. And something hard was in my mouth. I was like, what the bloody hell is that? I spat it out and it was half of a tooth. You know, and that's, I thought that was odd. And now I'm in pain because this tooth that's left is all sharp and it's cutting my tongue and all that. And then also, literally 10 minutes after that happened, I read up on quite a well-known story that I'd heard before, and I know, don't doubt for a second, Mags, that you'll be aware of it as well. But I read a little thing online about former England goalkeeper Dave Besant, who in 1993 dropped I think it was a giant jar of salad cream or a big bottle of ketchup or something like that.
I think it was salad cream. Yeah,
and he tried to sort of stop it from smashing on the floor, and he kind of instinctively sort of put his foot out to almost kind of trap or control the big glass jar of whatever sauce it was he had. It ends up smashing into 1,000 pieces, one of which apparently severed a tendon in his foot, forcing him to miss weeks and weeks of action. And I do believe he actually missed several England games because of that as well.
Yep.
So it got me thinking, between Dave Besant's salad cream issues and my, you know, attack from a deadly fish finger, I kind of thought, well, what other people have had accidents or injuries that are related to either food or the kitchen or anything along that sort of lines? Should we dive straight in, Mags?
Yeah, because some of these are nuts, absolutely nuts.
I'm going to go through them pretty much just in the order we received them. Mr. Dan Griffin, which is our good friend Dan.
I've heard many this guy, how he still is alive is absolutely beyond me. We should have a Dan Griffin section of this show just for his absolutely lunatic stories.
I'll get him his own little jingle made. I'll speak to Benny, the voiceover guy, and get him to do us a little jingle. You know, probably he doesn't bring up the fact that we still haven't paid him for the last one, but never mind. It's Dan Griffin at Dan Griffin 21 on the old Twitter machine. He says, I have genuinely slipped on a banana skin in York Station long stay car park, and from that he pulled his groin. Now obviously banana skins in cartoons and I suppose Mario Kart is where, you know, they're notorious for being slippy and characters fall on them. I've never fallen over on a banana skin. My wife says that she knows someone who has, but that's it. I don't know if that actually happens to people. Does it Max?
I'm sure there was a Mythbusters episode where they tested this, and the banana skin actually has a lot of purchase on the ground, and it's not as easy to slip on it as you may think. So yeah, it's if you are able to do it, you are incredibly special.
So basically what we're saying is Dan Griffin here and Mario are just a pair of plonkers being able to fall over on something that actually sticks to the ground.
Yeah, pretty. I'd say so, yeah.
Mario, he's even driving when it happens. What a dickhead, you know?
But he does well to control the skid and is able to carry on. So
yeah, I suppose. Mario Kart's ace, isn't it?
It is so good.
Dan also says when he worked at Morrison's supermarket, he got slapped around the head with a whole salmon by his mate. And the teeth went round and cut his nose.
It's Jackass, isn't it? It's literally Jackass.
Oh, some of these salmons, mine, they're bloody big things, aren't they?
And they weigh a ton as well.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Dan Griffin, and welcome to Jackass.
Slap the salmon. We've got one more from him here as well. Working at the rotisserie, is that the right word, Max? Rotisserie?
Oh, yeah.
Rotisserie, in Morrison. Yeah. Yeah? Mm-hmm. What's that, like the kitchen?
Where they cook chickens on a spit.
Okay, right. Led to many burns. The worst being I was loading the hot counter. Someone distracted me. I turned to talk to them and my arm touched the hot vents. I didn't realize this until I literally heard my flesh sizzling.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh, but that's hilarious. Something smells good.
Oh, yeah.
It's me. It's me that smells good.
Bloody hell. Andy from Bang Bang Podcast. pissed up, trying to get the stove to light, lost both his eyebrows for about 2 weeks. Wow. Now, something similar happened to a friend of mine. We were at a house party and he was trying to light his cigarette. I can't remember the exact details, whether it was in the toaster or off the stove. It must be off the stove.
In the toaster?
I thought like the hot wires in the toaster, you know, when you press the toaster.
Jesus.
You know, I mean, we're at a party. I imagine there would have been somebody else with a lighter, but this guy wasn't the brightest, you know, the brightest spark around. And this is mid-90s when... Well, sort of, yeah, early to mid-90s, when everyone's sort of going a bit grunge, metal, mad. Apart from me and my mates, we were all still very much into the whole 80s hair metal scene, Motley Crue, Cinderella, Poison, all that. So we had huge, big hair, hairsprayed to hell. And his head just went out like a firework, Max. It just went woof because of all the hairspray he used. It was awesome.
Awesome.
I thought it was awesome. He wasn't too happy, you know, but... I suppose the moral of the story there is make sure you got a lighter, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Unless you'll lose your hair.
Yeah, exactly. Our good friend Rob, at UTT Rob, he says, if you're counting on the way to buy food, he was nipping into Asda in Burnley to get a sandwich. It was dark. He tripped over the brickwork around a flower bed and sprained his wrist.
The brickwork around the flower bed is probably not even going to be it, as it's going to be the ones near what used to be George or Curry's PC World. So, yeah, what an idiot.
I've got no idea.
Right, so whereas there is in Burnley, it's on its own like mini kind of trading estate. So you've got the big store of Asda, and then going down the road, you've got like a few other little stores. There's like, I think there's a carpet store, there's a Curry's PC World, and there was a George, you know, the Asda clothing line.
Yeah.
They had their own store, and then a huge, obviously, car park. But outside the actual Asda, there's no flower beds. The only flower beds are like on near these smaller stores. So, yeah, he must have been walking along there and tripped over. I mean, they are pretty big. I don't know how you miss them.
Well, you said it was dark, to be fair.
But they are red bricks.
Okay.
And it's the car park is lit as well.
They are red bricks. What is red the only visible color in the dark or something? I don't. I don't see relevance.
Unless you're red green colorblind.
Well, I suppose. Millwall Chris at Millwall Chris One decided to cook beef for his wonderful wife on their anniversary a few years back. Was trying to find the meat fork in the drawer. And as he was sorting through, he caught his finger on a very sharp meat cleaver. Oof. Meat cleaver-shaped cheese knife, sorry. Blood all over the place and ended up having stitches the next day. It just seems to me, like, Max, everyone that listens to us is just a clumsy git, isn't it?
Yeah, and honestly, they need everything wrapped in cotton wool. We might have idiots as listeners. saying that, I mean, my knife and fork drawer is very much a minefield. You've got to be careful what you're going in there for, and if you don't pay attention, the same thing could happen. You could lose a limb. It's brutal.
Yeah, mine's the same. Mine's all like spaced out as it should be, like, you know, spoons here, forks there, and so on. But then there's like the other side of it, like down the side of the plastic tray thing, and that's just a bloody mess, man.
Yeah. Oh, we've got the sharper knives. We've got the potato peeler, which is brutal because it's one of those kind of like U-shaped ones with the really thin, like, movable blade. And if that catches your finger, oof, yeah, that can sting a little bit.
Yeah, I bet. Okay. And I suppose finishing up from Twitter today then, we've got William Kitchen at The Appliance 180. After watching World of Sport and then The Fall Guy in the summer of 1988 as a tender four-year-old, slashed his hand on a can of Coke, sans ring pull, a la Kane. Scar still runs deep today. Now, those ring pulls, mind, when the old ones, I mean, for those people who aren't as sort of advanced in age as myself, cans, the ring pulls on cans used to come straight the way off. My kids wouldn't even know that used to happen. They'd be oblivious. But they used to come all the way off, and you'd just be left with a hole where your drink would come out, nothing above it, nothing around it. And it was effectively, if you didn't have a glass to pour
drinking
it into,
from a razor blade.
To get your taste of orangeade or Coca-Cola or whatever, you're literally dicing with death. You could lose a lip, you could lose your tongue. These things were lethal.
Yep, absolutely. And then you've got in your hand the curved, bent, razor-sharp piece of metal. What was in that hole in the first place?
Yeah, we used to get loads of them, right? And put one on each finger, on each hand, and then act like we were Shredder from the Ninja Turtles. Do you remember Shredder from the Ninja Turtles? That's what we used to do with them when we were kids. Look back now, man. How the hell I've still got both eyes or whatever, I don't know.
It's madness, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. You got any food-related injuries or accidents or kitchen issues, Mags?
I mean, aside from like catching yourself like burning on like hot ring hobs or with pan handles, stuff like that, nothing that really really stands out. The odd nick with a knife, I suppose, but I've never ended up like wounding myself or in that hospital or with a long lasting scar from my exploits at cooking. Yeah, it's I don't understand how these people are still walking. I really, really don't.
It is a worry. It is a worry.
I suppose maybe don't listen to our podcast whilst you're preparing food.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest accident I've had in the kitchen, I suppose. Well, there's two, both are drink related. I'll go with the first one I thought of, because it's probably a bit of a quicker story to tell, so we can get on to actually some actual wrestling. I had split up with a long-term partner when I was in my early 20s. I was going out and I was living back at my mum's. I was going out and meeting young ladies in the hope of an eventful, fun evening back at my mum's house in the spare room with the high-class individual I was, obviously a superb catch for any young lady out in Gloucester. Do you want to come back to my mum's? Brilliant stuff. this one Friday or Saturday night or whenever it was, this one particular lady came back to my mum's place with me to have an extra couple of drinks. It must have been early hours of the morning. Everyone's in bed. I had a bottle. I don't know if we picked it up on the way home or if it was already in the house, because we're going back a fair few years now. But there was a bottle of vodka there anyway, whether it was a new one bought or one that was in the house unopened, whatever. I picked it up in the kitchen and basically was saying, okay, let's take this upstairs, have a few more drinks and so on. As I turned, it literally slipped from my hand. The only thing left in my hand was the red cap and the sort of neck bit, the label that goes over the neck, if you know what I mean, Mags.
I do, yeah.
The whole full liter bottle of vodka hit the middle of the kitchen floor, exploded into 1,000 pieces of glass, vodka just everywhere, the whole place. I mean, it's amazing how far a litre of vodka goes. It really is. Now, the downside was, in the kitchen is where my mum kept her dogs. So I've got broken glass all over the floor. I'm obviously slightly worse for wear, a little bit fuzzy-headed, shall we say, from that evening's exploits. Glass, vodka everywhere. This girl just decides to piss off. She's like, yeah, tell her, mate, and off she shoots. So I'm literally just stood there on my own, trying to quieten the dogs down, trying to stop the dogs from running all over the place in case they cut their feet. God knows what time in the morning, basically on my knees, crawling around in vodka, trying to pick glass up. That's probably one of the worst accidents I've had in the kitchen. Not, I suppose, food related, but yeah, not a great time in the kitchen at that point, I suppose.
That sounds pretty bad. Did you not think maybe get a broom?
Well, okay. Where were you 2 decades ago, dickhead? Thanks for your help.
Hello, brother. This is NWA WCW Enhancement Talent Randy Hogan, baby. Being in the ring with the Road Warriors, Vader, Abdul the Butcher, Midnight Express and all them guys, let me tell you, it was dang rough. But not as rough as listening to Cyan Mags on that chain wrestling show, brother. What you gonna do when this pair of fools, Cyan Mags and chain wrestling, brother, runs wild on you?
Should we talk some wrestling, Mags?
Let's do it, sir.
Yes, okie doke. The winner of this week's poll on Twitter at chain underscore wrestling on Twitter, where the polls go up each and every week, was from the Money in the Bank kickoff show 2013. And we have the Usos versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns from The Shield for the, what were they called back then, the WWE tag team titles or the world tag team titles? Yeah. Or
The WWE World Tag Team Championship. It was basically the penny style belts, just before the transition into Raw getting the gold ones and then SmackDown getting the silver ones.
Yeah. What did you think of those belts, Mags?
I can't stand them. They remind me of say when your grandparents bring you a present and it's a pound shop wrestler and they get a generic tile belt with them. They remind me of those kind of belts. I don't see the link to WWE with them. Yeah, I think they're horrific. This certainly will not be a belt that I'll be adding to my belt collection. That's for damn sure.
Nah, I'm not a fan. Not in the slightest. But they had them for a while, didn't they? Didn't they have some silver ones as well?
Yeah, the silver ones are now the, I think, the SmackDown titles.
On
the blue leather, I think.
Yeah, not a good look, is it?
No, I don't like them.
No.
And they look so out of place compared to all the rest of the titles as well. They just don't fit in with the kind of like gladiator helmets on. Yeah, they're ridiculous. They're Poundland belts.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The date is July 14th, 2013. Yeah, we're coming from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. ECW country, I guess. Lots of RVD signs in the crowd and ECW chants and so on later on during the main show. An odd one, Mags, really, looking at the names involved in this match. I guess it's, you know, several years ago, a different time. But some big names involved on the kickoff show.
Yeah, basically the current WWE world champion, one of the biggest stars in WWE today, with Seth Rollins and the Usos, who were almost guaranteed to be a Hall of Fame tag team, and obviously we've had Jey Uso in the main title picture for quite a while now. So yeah, for me it was a massive shock that these were on the pre-show. And you mentioned about the RVD chants. I think that's because this was the pay-per-view where RVD was actually coming back to the WWE, and obviously with Philadelphia being the home of ECW, that was kind of like home away from home for him. So the crowd were just ravenous for him to be back on the show.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I like RVD. He was good, wasn't he?
Yep, I mean, if you want to listen to a quality RVD interview, James from That 90s Wrestling Podcast has done a really, really good one that's been actually picked up by a lot of news outlets with some of the stories that he got. So, yeah, RVD's cool as fuck, isn't he? He's just really cool.
Yeah, definitely. He likes his green a bit, doesn't he?
Listening to that interview, he's really kind of into the science of it though as well. Pushing for it to be legalized he loves his marijuana.
He does indeed. Okay. Before we carry on any further, Mags, if anyone does follow along with us and watch these matches and so on, do you want to let people know where they can actually find it on the network? Okay, it was a bit tricky, this one, wasn't it?
So, yeah, this, I totally apologize. I should have done my prior research, but when I was coming up with this topic, obviously we were trying to link it back to the show previous with Meng. And I thought that this would be a cool link, but the WWE Network doesn't actually have the Money in the Bank 2013 pre-show on it. So when I went to load it up earlier today, I thought we may end up having to watch Simon's horrific pick because we couldn't get hold of it. And for love nor money, could I find it searching for Money in the Bank pre-show on Google and on the network? And it was only like a last gasp effort where I searched for The Shield versus the Usos, and it came up with a list of all the matches that they've had over on Main Event and on SmackDown and on Raw and stuff like that. But in the tucked in the corner was a Roman Reigns documentary about his greatest title matches of all time, and the first match on that documentary, which I think is about 3.5 hours long. It was this match. So you need, if you're going to listen along and watch what we've watched, search for Roman Reigns as our greatest title matches and you'll find it there.
Yeah, it's in the best of WWE section. When you put the drop down menu there, it's the Roman Reigns one. It's like you said, Max, the very first match comes on is that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
How different are the Usos here? I forgot totally. I mean, obviously, I remember them doing the whole, you know, the face paint and the neon colours and so on. That was how they were for quite a long period of time, I guess. Mm-hmm. But now, looking at them, how different are they here? And not just in the sort of ring attire and approach and so on, but their builds as well, their body shapes. They look like different people.
Yeah, they look like traditional Samoan wrestlers. They're really kind of big and muscly. Obviously, the bright face paint, which they played into for a long, long time, with with the playing the paint kind of gimmick that they went for, and then obviously they transitioned out of that into the Uso Penitentiary, which I think suits them a lot more. For me, going back and watching this, it kind of like for early 2010s, it just didn't seem to fit. For me, it was almost like a throwback to the Samoan SWAT team and the kind of head shrinker days rather than like really modern style wrestling.
Yeah, it does seem like quite dated, doesn't it? Even back then, you know, almost cartoony, I suppose.
Well, they were incredibly popular, and even when they came out and did the kind of like hacker style dance and the chanting, the fans were dead into it. And when they did when I say who's you say oh, the fans definitely like got involved with that. So it was cool to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I got a note about that, actually. It made me laugh because his voice kind of broke a bit, didn't it?
you say, woo! Very, very high-pitched.
Yeah, crackling his voice away. That made me laugh. And then the Shields make their entrance. And how cool are these guys, man? The music, the look, the coming through the crowd. I mean, Seth Rollins kind of lets it down a touch by having half of his hair dyed blonde. I don't think that was ever really a good look. But, yeah, how great are these guys?
Yeah, so, so good. Just they, for me, are one of the best kind of like short-lived factions that WWE have produced. Really kind of like, I mean, I wasn't watching particularly that much around this time, but I knew about the Shield, and I've gone back and watched a hell of a lot of the stuff. And yeah, they really kind of like spoke to that generation of wrestling fans, and really stood out in the kind of like the use of hokey kind of wrestling, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The other player in this match, I guess, the other participant, I suppose, is the referee. His actual name escapes me. I don't think I've ever really known it, to be fair. In my house, though, Mags, he is just referred to as Orange Ref. Because if you see the guy now, here, I've got a note here that says Orange Ref is less orange. Because he's not Orange Ref here. He's just kind of building up to it, I guess. But you look at the guy now. He definitely goes to the Hulk Hogan school of tanning, doesn't he? He's glowing orange when you see this fella now at NXT or Raw and SmackDown.
Is it, I think he's called Drake. Is it Drake Wirtz? I think he's what I want to say. He's kind of like the head referee at NXT.
Yeah, and he looks orange, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He loves a sunbed, mate. He loves a sunbed.
He definitely, definitely does. He also loves very controversial political thoughts and tweets.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, yeah. He's pro-Trump, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. Each to their own, but they're wrong. But each to their own, mate. Whatever, you know. It is what it is. On commentary, we have the legendary lechmaster of Jerry the King Lawler, JBL, and the always irritated Michael Cole to me. But one of them,
the match really, Michael Cole, who during the match actually was really annoying me with the way he kept calling Seth Set. Like, as if he couldn't say the letter H or like he'd bit his tongue. It was really pissing me off.
Well, perhaps he did have a bad tongue. Perhaps he had a particularly tough fish finger and chipped a tooth.
that could be the case.
Yeah, if that's the case, Michael, because I know you listen. If that's the case, Michael, I apologise for having a dig at you. I feel your pain, my friend. He mentions that the Usos winning here would lead to them being the first twins to win tag team titles. Now, I sat there watching this match back and thought, that cannot be right. That can't be right. But the more I rack my brains, the more I can't think of another team of twins to win a tag team title. Can you think of any, Max?
No. Let me try and rack my brains. I mean, there's not really that many actual brother tag teams that have.
When you say let me rack my brains, that means let me type into Wikipedia, doesn't it?
I'm literally not. I've never known Michael Cole to tell lies. WWE have never been ones to kind of like shuffle history around to suit their own agenda, so I've got no reason to disbelieve him So yeah, I dare say it's very, very true.
Because you should take everything that comes from WWE at face value as being 100% correct and accurate.
Yeah, I mean, why would they tell lies?
Yeah, totally. there was that team, weren't there? Were they twins or were they just brothers? The really massive, huge, fat blokes. Like, massively huge, fat blokes.
What, that Earthquake and Typhoon?
Oh, Earthquake and Typhoon. You'd take the... No, they were huge. They were like oddities huge. They were like gigantic. You'd sort of people that, you know, might be in a circus or something. They made like giant haystacks that like a Slim Jim. You know, these guys were massive. And they were a tag team of that. That's going back a long time. I'm going to have to look them up and I'll put some pictures and stuff on the show's Twitter when this comes out. But I wonder if they were twins and they won a tag team title. I don't know. But again, who are we to second guess Michael Cole?
They're not that big. I have actually Googled it now because it was annoying me. But there's twin brothers called the Batten Twins, Bart and Brad Batten. They won world titles all across the world. So
you mean Michael Cole lied to us?
It seems so. The lie. I hope he did chip his tooth now.
Yeah, the tosser. Yeah. What a bastard. What a bastard. God damn it, Cole. I didn't think you could go any lower in my feelings and thoughts than every time you go, it's boss time, every time Sasha Banks comes out. But now you've done it, mate. Now you've done it.
I've also pulled up the Sportster, which has the top 15 twins in wrestling history. So perhaps we'll be able to pull a team out of there. So let's, here we go. So 15 is the Phoenix Twins. Can't say I've heard of them. 14 is the Klimaszewski twins, a pair of people who appeared on WCW Nitro. The Batten twins, they look kind of like they've got some fascinating hairstyles, very Michael Hayes. The Maguire twins, I think, are the ones that you're talking about. They tip the scale at 1,470 pounds.
Yeah, massive fellas, isn't they? Huge, round dudes.
Mm-hmm. Number 11 is the Olsen twins, I don't think they are actually twins because one of them is Colin Delaney and one's Jimmy Olsen, and they're not actually real brothers. The Owens twins are a couple of Irish women who were on Tough Enough. The Tate twins, who have worked on the indie scene and also for Ring of Honor. The Cole twins from the early 90s were in WCW. The Blossom twins are a couple of our young UK-based wrestlers. The Headhunters, they were champions in Japan and Mexico and ECW. The Shane twins, you'll remember them. Jim and I think they were the Jim and I twins.
Oh, yeah.
The Harris twins. I don't think they never won gold in WWE. Obviously, you've got the Hebners. They're clearly twins, although I don't think they've won ever any WWE gold. And then number two is the Bellas. Again, I don't think they've won the tag team gold. So, yeah, it looks like Michael Cole might actually be telling the truth for once, because number one are the Usos.
Huh. Well, there you go. There you go. Speaking of the Hebners,
fact checking on chain wrestling.
I know you wouldn't have thought it would ever happen, would you? But look at us getting all professional. Speaking of the Hebners, right, Earl Hebner. I don't know if you're not on Facebook, Mags, are you?
No.
Have you heard about Earl Hebner doing this signing?
For,
I don't know the name of the company. Something Inc. Think Inc. or Thinking Inc. or something. He was doing a signing, like an online signing. And it's like a live video. So you message in, they take what you want off the message. You send them money over PayPal, and then you message in to the live stream they're doing. The guy who's filming it checks that you've paid, then says what you want. And then the other guy sat next to whoever it was. I mean, Brian Cage did one this week, and again, Earl Hebner did one last couple of days. Says, okay, this is what they want. And they pick, you know, photo number 6 and the message they want, and they sign it in front of you, hold it up to the camera so you can see it's not a fake, I guess, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
and Earl Hebner or whoever it is will say hello back and all that, you know. This Earl Hebner one popped up on screen the other day. I don't really know what to make of it, mate. If I can find a clip to post it or send it, I will. But it looked like he was absolutely off his face. like annihilated, like proper, you know, saw you dropping a bottle of vodka in his mum's kitchen drunk. That kind of smashed. And the bloke next to him, who he did a really good job, was having to literally talk him through everything. He's slurring his words. He disappeared off screen a couple of times, and I don't know if he was going to go throw up, but the guys were going, "Are you okay, Earl? What's going on?" And wow. He was, oh mate, it was not good. It was not good at all. I felt really sorry for the people hosting, and I also kind of felt sorry for Earl Hebner as well for being in that kind of condition and still being on screen, because they had a good few hundred people watching and stuff, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like when Jim Ross got fired from the WWE because Ric Flair turned up to a press conference drunk, and Jim was like basically tasked with controlling the and running the press conference, and Ross took the brunt of it.
Yeah, yeah. So it was not good. He had a bottle. I think he started the video drinking a beer. But at the end, he had like a bottle, like a water bottle or a flask or something that it looked like he just kept gobbing into.
Jesus.
I think, anyway, I couldn't really make out what he was doing, but it looked like he was just kind of spitting into it on the sly, like turning away from camera and spitting a little bit. So I don't know if he had like, you know, the sort of, you know, when you start spitting a little bit just before you're about to puke up because you drank too much.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he had a bit of that going on or what, but oh, mate, it was like one of those things where you can't look away, but you don't like to watch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be uncomfortable to be a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. I still ordered a picture, mind.
it just signed in. It's just a squiggle because he couldn't write his own name.
Well, it's the thing. He had to literally write, the bloke next to him had to literally shout, "Okay, so the message is to Psy, and that is T0, leave a space, Earl, leave a space, Earl, there you go, S-I, and so on and so forth." And that's how he was doing every single signing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And have you received your photo?
Not yet.
I mean it may not come. Let's
no, it
just
may
say
not.
That.
It may not, mate.
It might have drawn a dick on it for all you know.
Yeah. To Simon. I've heard your chain wrestling show. You're a melt. Anyway, getting back to the twins at hand, these adverts they kept having during the kickoffs, annoying, isn't it? But yeah, obviously not adverts, but they sort of disappear off screen, don't they?
Yeah, it almost felt like a clip show where they were cutting out parts of the match. Yeah, it was very, very annoying.
Yeah, definitely. There's one spot of, you know, that looks really, really good. So it's also just used quite a bit where it's almost like a superplex off the top, and then somebody else runs in, grabs
them, and turns into the Tower of Doom. Yeah, the big
Okay,
Tower
of Doom. Is that the name of it? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that looked really, really good.
It was. I mean, it's done a lot nowadays, but I suppose back then it wasn't as popular. So it really did kind of stand out. The one thing in this match that I really enjoyed was just how on the ball both teams were in terms of, I mean, there was no kind of missed spots. There was a point where Seth Rollins got thrown to the ringside, and then just as the Usos was going for a tag, he was able to pull, I think it was Jimmy, off the ring just before Jay got the tag, and then they kind of repeated that later on in the match with the Usos doing the same thing to Roman, so Seth couldn't get the tag. I thought that was a cool little move where they like kind of revisited that. It was I thought for a pre-show match, I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, and there's lots of occasions as well where, you know, it's the 1-2, and then somebody else comes in and breaks up the count. Mm-hmm. The timing was great of that sort of thing. I mean, it wasn't done so much that it annoyed me to the point where tag rules then go out the window, because that's a big bugbear I have with some modern wrestling, how tag rules don't seem to apply. But it was done enough to add to the match rather than take away from it, I guess. Mm-hmm. There was one moment as well. I think it might have been that. What did you say? It was Tower of Doom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Michael Cole went out of his way to try and ruin that for me by shouting, "You gotta be kidding me!" No, Michael, no. It's right there for you to see. No one's kidding you. No one's winding you up. It's on your monitor, and it's 2 yards away from you. You know? Oh, God, he drives me nuts. Reigns bangs out a Superman punch as well. I can't remember him using that this early on. I thought this something he sort of developed later on sort of thing.
He does it. He does a couple of them. There's another one where, he doesn't. I watched a few matches to lead up to this to see how we got to this match. And he uses the Superman punches a couple of times in some of the build up matches. So basically, how the Usos got to this match, they won a triple threat. On the 24th of June episode of Raw to become the number one contenders. They beat Tons of Fun, who were obviously Albert and Broadus Clay, and they beat Jinder.
That does sound like lots of fun.
Yeah, tons. It's tons and tons of
tons
fun.
Tons of fun.
And then they beat... they also beat 3MB, which was Jinder and Drew, to become the number one contenders. The interesting thing about this match, though, was... Broadus was in this kind of like when he had Funkadactyls, and one of his Funkadactyls was Naomi, who's obviously the wife of is it Jey Uso she's married to.
I'd have to ask the wife, mate.
She was on the opposite side of her partner. But after that match, we get the Shield appearing in front of in the crowd and getting a bit of a stare off. The next episode of SmackDown, we see the Usos and Christian team up to take on all three of the Shield, which is then repeated on the 1st of July episode of Raw. We get Usos beating the Road Scholars on the July, the 5th episode of SmackDown, and then we get a really good heart video from the three guys in the Shield about the upcoming match, and then a little bit about Dean Ambrose talking crap about Christian. And then on the go-home show of SmackDown, just before this event, we get a singles match with Seth and Jey Uso, and the finish of that match comes where Jey is going to go for a top rope move. I assume is kind of frog splash. And Roman actually gives him the Superman punch there for Seth to be able to hit the curb stomp and pick up a quick victory. So, yeah, I think it's a case of him just bringing that move into his arsenal around this time.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realise it was this early on, but, yeah, you said he's used it quite a bit. So, yeah, fair enough. Summit, I can always remember him using... is the move he finishes the match with, I guess. He hits a massive spear, doesn't he? It's really, really impressive when Roman hits a move like that.
Yeah, absolutely is. And the way they set this up with the blind tag, I thought was brilliant tag team skills. And Michael Cole and JBL really kind of like emphasised this during the commentary, that obviously the Shield are known for using their numbers to outwit and outmaneuver their opponents. Both commentators make a big deal of the fact that whilst it's 2-on-2, whilst the numbers are actually even, the Shield are still able to basically outnumber their opponents by knowing exactly where to be at the right time to be able to kind of like overpower the Usos. So, yeah, I thought this is one time where the commentary really helped put over the two teams. And, I actually really enjoyed watching this match. I thought it was, aside from the cuts that make it look like a clip show on the adverts, yeah, I thought this was a very good kickoff match.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it did its purpose, I guess, didn't it? The crowd are hot by the end of it. And not saying that they weren't into it at the beginning, of course, but they were hot by the end. I really enjoyed it too. It was a good tag team contest, good tag team wrestling, something you don't always necessarily see nowadays. I mean, for me, Mags, I suppose if we're talking about the end and how good it was, we might as well rate it now. I mean, for me, I'm quite happy giving this a solid 7 out of 10, mate. How do you feel about this one?
Yeah, I mean, 7 sounds about right to me. It was ultimately, it would be forgettable. All the people in the match have had way better matches, but then again, they've all probably had way worse. So bang in the middle, 7 sounds like a good pick to me.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay then, so I suppose the next thing we need to tackle is where we go next week, where the chain takes us all for next week's show. Me and Mags both put a topic up for you to vote upon, linked with this match, and that will then take us into next week. Mags, do you want to go first or second, my friend?
I'll happily go first.
You carry on.
So, we've had the familial link with the father of brother tag teams, and now we've gone on to the actual brother tag teams. I think I'd like to continue that theme of familial links, and certainly the theme of brothers in wrestling. Many famous brothers have been wrestling. We've gone through some with those top 15 from the Sports the website, but I think one of the most well-known brother family kind of links is the Hart. Such a massive dynasty that Stu was able to create up there in Montreal, Canada. And I'd like to kind of focus on the Hart brothers. Obviously, the biggest two for wrestling fans will be Bret and Owen. Yeah. And I don't think there's been a bigger match between those two than the match at WrestleMania 10, where it was brother versus brother in the curtain jerker, which ended up with Bret leaving the event as WWF champion. So yeah, I think I'd like to go to WrestleMania 10, Bret versus Owen Hart.
Oh, mate, what a shite. What a shite. That's a fantastic match. That is, I mean, so I think WrestleMania 10, I love. It's one of those, again, the same as King of the Ring 93 and SummerSlam 89, one of those VHS tapes that I played over and over and over again. Everyone remembers the ladder match, but this is just absolutely fantastic, pure wrestling match. It's brilliant. Oh, what a great shout, Max. That's awesome.
Yep. Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. No, you're very welcome. Okay, let's see what I've got to go up against it. We have the show we're looking at today coming out of Philadelphia, which is ECW country, and they're all chanting for Rob Van Dam on his return and so on. Something else to, or somebody else, I guess, that came out of Philadelphia quite famously is the boxer Rocky Balboa.
Okay.
Series of films, great films, Max. The early ones are the best, aren't they? They get a bit much towards the end, I guess, but I really enjoy those films. The first one and it is probably my favorite still to this day. However, in Rocky III, there's a special guest star who we can go back and watch save the world in 1991 from the evil Iraqi sympathizer Sergeant Slaughter, and that is Mr. Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 7, Max. How'd you fancy that?
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like a bit of Thunder Lips? That was his name in the film, wasn't it? Thunder Lips, I think.
Yeah, it's not just you stating some kind of sexual practice. Who doesn't like a bit of Thunder Lips?
I mean, it could be. Again, I'm not one to kink shame.
No, there you go. That's not actually where we're going, Max. I'm going to save that. I've got a date in mind, my friend, to when we go back and look at that wonderful match. It's coming, ladies and gents, it's coming. What we're actually going to do is still use the Philadelphia link, Rob Van Dam in the main event of Money in the Bank in 2013. So we've got the Philadelphia link, ECW link, the Rob Van Dam link. I'd like to take us to ECW, Mags, somewhere that the chain hasn't passed through just yet. And I'm going to go, I think, for a Rob Van Dam match, seeing as he is in the main event of the show we've just had a match from. And I will go for Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn at ECW Hardcore Heaven 1999. It is on the network. I'll double check. It's a barnstormer of a contest.
It's a banger.
But at the same time, Brett V. Owen is a barnstormer of a contest. Mags, do you know what? Do you know what I reckon? I reckon Wrestling Twitter can't screw us this week because either way, we win.
Yeah, we absolutely win. I mean, Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam in ECW was... I don't believe that they had a bad match. I can't think of a bad match that they've had of the ones I've seen. That's a brilliant pick. I mean, for me, I personally would have probably preferred their Hardcore Heaven 2000 match. But yeah, it's still going to be a banger to watch this one if it wins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So there we go. That's our choices for next week. The poll will be put up on our Twitter account. If you follow the show on Facebook, sorry, open a Twitter, follow the show on there. but the poll will be put up on Twitter at @chain_wrestling. And your choices for next week are the amazing Bret Hart versus Owen Hart opener from WrestleMania 10, which is an absolute classic, or the Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn contest from ECW Hardcore Heaven 1999.
Both yeah. Great picks.
Oh, absolutely great picks. Some bloody good wrestling next week. I'm so happy. yeah, okay then. So, Mags, all that's left, I suppose, is for us to let people know where they can find us online and where can people find you.
Okay, well, I am only on the Twitters at DAJ Kirby, where I'm involved with many amazing podcasts. Projects with many amazing podcasters, including this good fellow right here. So yeah, come and give me a follow on there, and there's usually links to the content that I am involved in.
Yeah, great stuff. Lots of different content as well. There's UFC, isn't there? There's a football show. There's all sorts there. Mm-hmm. A little something for everyone, I think. And when you've got a podcaster as talented as Mags covering as many different subjects as that, it's well worth checking out, people. Okay?
I appreciate it.
No problem. You can find me at SJP Words. You can find the show, again, at @chain_wrestling, where you'll find the poll for this week's you'll find the options for this week's poll on the tweet tagged below the episode when it comes out. I'm off now to ask my mum where her broom was 20 years ago. Max, I will speak to you next week, my friend.
Bye-bye.